Welcome back to New Rockstars, Marvel's Eternals' final nail in the coffin of apocalyptic events this movie thrusts upon us is a voice from the shadows revealed to be Mahershala Ali as Blade in the MCU. How will this Daywalker team up with Dane Whitman Black Knight in the MCU next? And could it be in the upcoming Moon Knight series starring Oscar Isaac? Are we looking at Knights Assemble, ladies and gentlemen? This is Rogue Theory, the show where we pitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles that we love. I'm Eric Voss, and going rogue with me today is our very own Daywalker, Jessica Clemens.
I am the knight. Wait, that's Batman.
Yep, I would say wrong cinematic universe, but not according to Gilgamesh. Also joining us today is the host of the Filmlosophers podcast and good friend of the show, Eddie Villanueva.
What is up, guys? I just saw this movie recently, and I got a lot of questions, and some things need answering.
Well, that's what we are here for, and what you are here for. You better have some answers ready to go, because we have questions too. And finally, of course, the Celestial Easter Egg Hunter Extraordinaire, it's MT.
Hey, everybody. I'm looking for those big planetary-sized eggs always. What's going on?
All right, let's dive into it, folks. The second Eternals post-credits scene revealed Dane Whitman drawing the cursed ebony blade and the voice of Mahershala Ali as another kind of blade asking, "Are you sure you're ready for that, Mr. Whitman?" This would imply a kind of team-up between Dane Whitman and Blade, the vampire-hunting half-vampire, Daywalker, in a future Marvel title. The MCU Blade film has been given no release date as of yet, but some believe the two could reunite sooner than that film, like in Secret Invasion, or in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, or even Moon Knight, a trailer for which we are likely to see soon. You may already have in your lives by the time you're watching this video. So let's start there. The Marvel's apparent reach into this supernatural horror genre, with things like vampires, zombies in Marvel What If, demonology, the occult. Do we think the MCU could be building a Midnight Suns team-up? Or perhaps organizations like Stake, or MI-13. What do you guys think?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I straight up, Blade is going to be the Nick Fury of the supernatural MCU. This is what they're setting up. Like, because, like you said, we are getting Moon Knight. We are, we do know that Agatha Harkness is getting her own show. Like, I think that we're just seeing all of these players going to be coming together to fight a, you know, this huge supernatural threat that is on the horizon. Maybe a Mephisto? Who knows? That'd be a really good one. I think that
sprung.
I said the M word. I'm sorry, but no, I think that Midnight Suns is the more likely scenario here because it's the one that people keep tweeting us about constantly because they love it so much. Midnight Suns, it's Midnight Suns always. So yeah, I think that's where they're headed there. But what do you guys think?
Not to mention, that would coincide with like the roots of the video game, the Midnight Suns video game as well, coming out. Right. So it would be interesting for them to begin making those treks towards it. Canonically, within the Marvel comics, we all know that there's not much history between the two outside of, you know, the team ups in like MI-13 and things of that sort. But the fact that they're retooling some of these characters, and we know Marvel is known for retooling characters' backstories to better fit their narrative for moving forward. So. Right. I would almost think to seem as like they would team up to almost try to catch up with Morbius. I mean, I would love to see them do a cameo in Morbius and be a part of that storyline as well. We all know these are all going to intertwine at some point in time. So
yeah,
I feel like aside from the obvious Marvel comic issue where they actually teamed up in MI-13 and then Blade had to go because he tried to kill somebody. We are hoping that as they continue to move towards the cosmic aspect as well as the horror aspect, that Blade begins to just build this platform outside of the film. So that way, when Mahershala Ali finally shows up on screen, there'd be no doubt at all that it's going to be a badass showing.
Yeah, I think that's something to keep in mind that they do, Marvel Studios, tend to rearrange team lineups differently than they were in the comics. I mean, back from the the OG Avengers in the MCU, not exactly what it was in the comics. They didn't introduce Wasp until far later. I think they're going to do the same with the Dark Avengers / the Thunderbolts. They're going to do the same with the Young Avengers. They're just going to have different young people on this team who weren't necessarily the exact Young Avengers. Like, I don't know if we're going to see Hulkling in the MCU. In the
I same hope way. So. He's great.
I'd love it, but like they nerf Hulk all the time in the MCU because of VFX. Like they, it's crazy that they're gonna have Ruffalo appear in She-Hulk, but I guarantee you it's gonna be mostly the actor Mark Ruffalo, not as Hulk form, because it's so much VFX budget to animate Hulk that way, and for them to do that for Hulk Lean, for this you know, not as iconic character from the Young Avengers comics, I think it's just gonna be a while before we see Hulk Lean, and it wouldn't surprise me if that's just some budgetary lower priority for the MCU. So all this is just a way of saying that the Midnight Suns that we see in the MCU is just going to have the lineup of whoever the occult characters are currently in the MCU. Yeah. I can even see Agatha Harkness being on this team, or like Sylvie or Loki being on this team. You know what I mean?
Or it could be just another long, long game tease again, just like they've done with previous things of like, oh, what about this? And then seven movies later and we get what we're talking about, or what about this? So it could very well just be piecemeal to us as fans. But ultimately, us who know the lore really well and know what this trajectory looks like more than most, we can kind of assume once we start seeing the pieces together, we can put that puzzle together and figure it out ahead of time.
What do you think, Jessica? Do you think it's is it going to be a while before we see Blade and Dane Whitman, Kit Harington show up together? Is this just some kind of like punt by the Eternals team to be like, Marvel, you figure it out, whether it's a year down the line or 4 years
down
the line?
Well, I think Marvel has to be aware of what the post-credit or the mid-credit scene, end credit scene has to be. So I feel like they're aware of it, but it would be very funny if Chloe was just like, deal with it. Here, take it. I agree with...
I just really want another Blade movie really bad. Yeah, so let's
I don't care. All I care about is Blade. that was her whole mission. I'm here for it. I ultimately agree. That's why I'm so quiet. I agree with MT and Eddie. I do think I've been manifesting Midnight Suns for a minute. I want them to... I want to see all of them. We love the scary dark side of... the Marvel Universe. This could easily tie in with What If's Marvel Zombies. They can bring in so many situations in the future that I do think this is the ultimate goal. Like you said, Voss, they change up teams all the time. They change up. It doesn't have to follow the comic books like completely. So I think this is an issue where we're like, yeah, instead of putting them on MI-13 for literally like three issues, we're going to put them in Midnight Suns. With these two, and then we're gonna get Agatha, we're gonna get every metaphysical, we're gonna get Morbius eventually. That's why I think more so Midnight Suns would come way farther down the line, because they're still trying to figure out how we can splice in Morbius, because you can't have Morbius and Blade in two different... Well, you can, but it's just like, he's, if we go with the storyline that he's the one that bit Eric Brooks, Blade, then we have to combine the Morbius storyline. So I think down the line, this is much farther down the line. We're getting everything together. But yeah, they're going to come in together. I agree with all of you. All of you. First time.
And I think one of the biggest things also to keep in mind is this going to be a profitable venture for Marvel? I know the regular answer, the more common answer is yes. But then you have a lot of people who are used to the whole superpowered humans, things of that sort. Not a lot of people know that side of Marvel. And so... Blade is a recognizable name because of what Wesley Snipes did with the franchise previous. Seeing the Black Knight is a huge, you know, shocker to a lot of people, because not a lot of people know about the character. So it's going to be interesting if they kind of start testing the waters with this and seeing if it's going to be something they continue. Obviously Blade is already on the slate for it to be put out, hopefully sometime soon. But when it comes to, you know, the Black Knight, That may be something they might start testing in with like Disney Plus as a series, or even piecemeal it for the Halloween special that's supposed to be coming out next year.
Right, Gael Garcia Bernal werewolf.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, beautiful.
I think like Marvel should feel bullish about this, because how many people's first access point to the MCU was simply WandaVision? Like, we're all MCU nerds who have been with this franchise 100%. For years and years. Right. But so many people were like, what is this Elizabeth Olsen, Catherine Hahn series on Disney Plus about witches? This is crazy.
Yeah.
And how seamless that transition felt when we revealed it was Agatha all along, where Wanda goes into the satanic dungeon. Mm. And then the next episode begins with a prologue flashback of a satanic witch trial. of a bunch of witches in a coven chanting Latin phrases. And like, I was so pumped like that this is part of the MCU now. And it just felt like it was part of the MCU from the beginning. It felt so natural. So I think the fact that like that made sense to us from a tonal perspective shows that the sky's the limit, or the reaches of hell are the limit, to be more accurate, when it comes to things like Mephisto and Moon Knight and Blade and the Midnight Suns.
Yeah.
Give us more of it. Like, I think general audiences are totally ready for this and totally ready to explore that. And let's be clear here, leading the tale of this team needs to be Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, absolutely. Ghost Rider is 100% going to be on this Blade team that is being assembled. He's gotta be. It's gotta be Ghost Rider, Moon Knight, Black Knight. What else? Who else? I was just thinking about some.
The Green Knight.
The Green Knight.
The Green Knight. Everybody
Black
loves
Knight
that
featuring
film.
Martin Lawrence. Two Black Knights.
Yeah.
Oh, no, get out. Get out. Show them the door.
But no. On a more serious note, I like the fact that how Eric brought up WandaVision, because I think that WandaVision, in particular, the Darkhold, is going to be a huge part of what's going on moving forward, because the Darkhold is this super old book that, you know, makes people like Agatha crazy. Like, it sort of manipulates your, you know, mind and makes you, you know, do dark magic stuff. So, like, who knows how many people throughout the course of human history have been affected by this Darkhold? How many, you know, monsters that are out there? And, like, now that the MCU is going into this interdimensional route, I think that in the MCU, all of these, you know, vampires and, you know, mystical stuff are going to have an interdimensional source, especially with the sword itself, the Ebony Blade. When it speaks to Dane Whitman, it's going to be probably revealed that it's going to be like that whole Shang-Chi, like, who's talking to me? Oh, it's a being from beyond. And the sword.
Oh, what
is
it? Oh, it's the blade. It's the blade.
I mean,
it's the ghost blade.
Are we looking at a scenario where this may be the first time a scene has come up in the MCU in 2021? Where a demonic voice came from some object, and I did not say it was Mephisto. Like,
oh my
is
God.
It gonna be like, this voice is Mephisto, and it's the first time I didn't say, hey, that's Mephisto?
I mean,
because if that ends up being the case,
that still seems plausible. I mean, hey, you know, they're, like we said, Marvel's great at retooling things. Who knows?
I might be a little off. I'll be honest. Black Knight isn't a big part of my repertoire, but isn't it, his blade is the Ebony Blade. I feel like this is a stretch. But if we wanted to tie Blade to the Ebony Blade.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Is there a way that his soul could be connected to the Ebony Blade? Like, could he have been slain by the Ebony Blade or something, stabbed by anything, what have you? Because there has to be a reason.
Sure.
I don't think he's actually in that room with him at the end. It's clearly
his
just
voice sounded
voice.
Disembodied.
Yeah, that's
right?
Why
yeah.
I'm like, it's in the
like
blade. It's in the blade.
The
he's opening the box. The blade or the box is talking. One of the two.
I mean, I don't know if it's in the blade, but like, I think the blade itself is just cursed, right? That's what we know about the Ebony Blade. It does have some kind of evil to it. So I think that was talking to him. But I think you are right, Jessica. I don't think Blade physically is standing in the room in that scene. I think he is channeling him through some kind of dark magic in this moment. Because why would they edit Mahershala's voice to sound echoey like that?
It could be his family's long
line. That room
line.
Wasn't big
Maybe
enough
he...
for that kind of echo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was an office.
And everybody knows that Eddie's an architect, so... Eddie knows that like surround a, sound.
I think Eddie's
waiting to happen. It's like we just go back to the actual room. How's the
if
echo?
You look at the cubic feet from the top of that floor to the bottom?
Right?
And,
yeah, right, right there, right there.
It's just Mahershala standing next to one of those old horns and just talking into it.
Well,
are you sure you're ready for that, Mr. Whitman?
The ebony blade's old, and if it has been passed down through his family, there could have been a time that I know this sounds like a freaking old like Dracula series, but his family could have worked with Blade potentially at one point.
If you take the storyline, his uncle, I believe, is the one who ends up being immensely cursed by the Blade to the point to where
he goes crazy.
He turns evil. And there, I mean, they could retcon this entire story where Blade at one point in time was the one who had to put him down.
Oh.
Or, you know, was a part of that battle. And in the midst
Blade
of it,
killed Uncle Nathan.
Yeah. And maybe in the process of it got struck or hit by the Blade and has a part of that curse, which is why there's like maybe this telepathic connection between him and that Blade in order for him to speak to
like
Dane Whitman.
All right, Eddie, you get a golden rogie for that theory.
A golden rogie.
Great theory on that
really
one.
Great theory.
Jessica, I'm going to give you a golden rogie because I think it's rogue. You said it was a stretch, but I like it. I'm going to give you a point for this idea that like Blade could be mystically connected to the Ebony Blade. And that was a little wordplay implied by the subtext of the scene, but there's a literal meaning to it as well. MT, I'm gonna give you 2 points for being the first one to cite Mephisto in this episode. That's a shortcut. You cashed in on it and it worked.
You tell us not to do it.
You found the secret code.
Gimme.
You tell us not to bring it up.
And I'm gonna give you a second one for that too. That's how much I want Mephisto. And I'm
so ready
for him.
He figured out the code.
Well, we have some more about the ending minutes of Eternals we want to talk about, but first, there's a brand new Latest Obsession shirt inspired by Marvel's Eternals available at newrockstarsmerch.com. These are limited edition shirts, and once they sell out, they are retired to the Blue Dungeon with me, where I use them to just pad my chair for my tough little tush. So you should grab one of these shirts as soon as possible.
I thought you were sitting a little higher.
Yeah. Just every Latest Obsession shirt. I just, so find these shirts and all the great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. Also, I recently got some socks from one of the sponsors of this episode, Stance, and they are both incredibly comfortable, but also very well designed. They feel great, and they're just kind of funky in looks, not in smell. And founded in 2009, Stance Apparel has reinvented socks, t-shirts, and more. They have a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity. Stance brings an atypical aesthetic alongside some of pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression, because everything you wear should be a direct extension of who you are and how you feel. They do a lot of stylish collaborations with brands that you love. They currently have sock collaborations with Batman, Pixar, Star Wars, and a bunch of cool designers and artists. I might need to grab some of their Marvel designs. I know they'll be incredibly comfortable and they just look really cool. The Stance philosophy is that a perfect fit is more important than simply fitting in. That those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself. Just head on over to stance.com and pick out whatever styles you like. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. Also, if you dread looking at your credit card statements, you're not alone. The weight of debt can feel crippling, but Upstart can help you on your path to financial freedom. Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over a million people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date. Rather than looking at credit score alone, Upstart considers other factors like your income, current employment, and credit history to find you a smarter rate for your loan. You can check your rate without impacting your credit score in minutes for loans between $1,000 and $50,000. You can even receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/rogue. That's upstart.com/rogue. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. upstart.com/rogue. Also, the weather is getting colder and all of our clothing choices are leaning cozier and comfortable. Whether you're apple picking, sitting by a campfire, or just running into the grocery store, Faherty is here to help with the perfect clothes for getting comfy. When you want the best quality clothes, you call in the troops. You know, when you're searching for that ideal cozy outfit, that shirt, that sweater, the ones that feel like you've had them for years with the perfect prints that fit so perfectly and feel almost too good to be vintage, but look like they still might be? Well, that's Faraday. They are so confident in the quality of their stuff, they have a lifetime guarantee. They'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. And to top it all off, Faraday is giving the Rogue Theory audience 20% off. 20% off. So stock up on all your fall and winter clothes now. Head on over to FaradayBrand.com and enter the promo code ROGUE at checkout to snag 20% off all your gear. That's Faraday, F-A-H-E-R-T-Y, brand.com, and promo code ROGUE for 20% off your Faraday purchase. All right, getting back to Eternals, folks. How will Cersei be rescued from Ereshkigal and the other Celestials? Because this Eternals mid-credit scene suggested Eros, Eternal of Titan, and his own celestial connection that allowed him to locate Cersei and save her from Ereshkigal's judgment might be the way Cersei and her friends get rescued. Will Gorr the God Butcher's warpath against the Celestials and Thor Love and Thunder help Cersei break free? Will Icarus pop out of the other side of the sun with new powers that allow him to free Cersei? Did Eros hook up with Adam Warlock at some point in the past? Will Cersei's fate be explored in Guardians Volume 3, Thor Love and Thunder, or is Marvel just planning on making us forget about this loose end with lots of other big plot threads in the near future? What do you guys think?
You know, I like to believe that last one all the time. That's what I normally lean towards. Marvel's just la 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 la. But I think the whole Eros thing is going to lean more towards them just like running into the Guardians and Adam Warlock in the next Guardians movie. What I think will happen for Cersei, I don't think she's going to be rescued. This is the rogue. This is maybe the roguest theory I've ever said because I love the Eternals and Celestials. I think Cersei's going to become a Celestial. I think she, the fact of like in the movie that she can turn with the help of other ones, which is why he stole all of them from the planet. The fact that she can turn a celestial to stone is so crazy. It's so crazy that I think it's going to be, Ereshkigal's going to be like, you're a little too wild to be an Eternal. We're going to just make you a Celestial. We're going to combine the other ones that we took from Earth. Cause he thinks he just took all of them from Earth. He doesn't know that Sprite's a human. Spoiler. He doesn't know that Sprite's a human. He doesn't know that the other three are out in space. So he thought he took them all and he's just going to combine them into Cersei's and she's going to become a Celestial. And I think she's going to wipe. He's going to reboot her mind where we're going to see that Cersei. We're going to see that Gemma Chan, but she's going to be just a Celestial. And then Eros is going to come back because Eros is not going to be dead. He's not going to be dead by the sun. And he's going to try to like get her back. But she's like, I'm the gaudiest of gods. So I think my rogue theory is she's not going to be rescued. She doesn't need to be rescued because she's going to be a Celestial.
I love it.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's really good.
Way to reframe the argument here, Jessica. These female Eternals don't always need rescuing.
Right?
They can solve their own problems. Thank you very much.
Thank you, boss. Thank you.
Well, on a chauvinistic side, I feel like, oh my God, Jess, that was great. I feel like for everything going on with what we have going on in the MCU, I feel like with the connection between Nebula and Gamora with Eros being Thanos' brother, I feel like we're going to get to see them again in the next Guardians of the Galaxy film. I feel like that's going to be a part of, if not a part of, a small leg of that particular storyline in terms of clarification, because knowing that in the comic books, obviously going back to that, you know, at one point in time, we actually see, and I don't know if this is something they're going to do in the future, but we actually see where Thanos actually is resurrected in the body of Eros. And knowing that that's something that could possibly come back, because I mean, let's face it, Josh Brolin was amazing as Thanos. That was a great character. I don't think we were going to see the end of that at all. And I feel like Gamora and Nebula are going to be aware that Thanos has that ability, and they're going to kind of be on this, you know, really suspect mindset. If when they see Eros recognizing him as the brother of Thanos, they're going to see him and they're going to essentially try to decide whether to kill him or not kill him. All the while he's going to be with the Eternals trying to rescue Cersei and the other Eternals. I really feel like this is something that they have to really respond to in terms of the information that they've given, because if not, like you said, it's going to be one of those loose ends that probably won't get tied up until further down the road, and people may actually forget about it. And I hope people don't. Other than the fact that Harry Styles is Eros, not many other people are going to realize, you know, the enormity of that character. I mean, he even has a huge a huge spot to play in the whole Infinity Gauntlet storyline. Mm-hmm. And his recognition there, and I just really hope they do something quick, and I'm hoping it's in the Guardians of the Galaxy next film, because that seems to make the most sense to me.
I like that. I think that's a lot of good points. I love that you brought up this idea of Thanos being resurrected in Eros' form. I think mm-hmm. that is like a point a lot of people are missing mm-hmm. about their history in the comics. And for Thanos to come back in that way, I just think is incredible.
I think people are agreeing with Eddie. I think people are underplaying Star Fox introduction. I think people are overselling, like, oh, it's Harry Styles, we get that, but Star Fox is a really big deal, especially in the comics. Star Fox has like such a horrible background, so I think when I first saw it, my first imagination of it was like, oh, he's on the run. It's not that they found him, that he's just like in trouble and he's trying to jump on the first ship out of anywhere, because Star Fox is such a problematic person. So but I agree, I was like, Star Fox is insane.
Yeah, I really, truly hope that Marvel ends up making Star Fox the new Star-Lord after Guardians 3. Because it just makes sense. Like, he's so much like Star-Lord. He's a player, and he's like a Star-themed person.
Yeah. Yes. He has to be in James Gunn's movie. He has to be in James Gunn's movie. Like, play would be so fun for him. Okay, keep going.
Yeah.
By the way, really quick, sorry, is anybody else excited the fact that they're bringing Patton Oswalt into the MCU? Patton Oswalt played Pip, and
MODOK, and he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but now he's like officially MCU canon. Well,
and he was in Blade Trinity.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. He what?
I just hope they give him better VFX next time we see Pip, because that was kind of like, that was like Xbox One.
It was rough.
Sorry,
oh,
MT. Rough. My bad. I just wanted to.
It was a PlayStation 1 cutscene almost a little bit.
There you go.
But anyway, no. I think for me, to go kind of roguish here, we have to remember that Druig is on this ship with Thena and Makari. And Druig is, you know, historically a Marvel villain. And like, I feel like Marvel's sort of like introducing Druig as, you know, as a sympathetic, you know, very empathetic person towards humanity, which he is. But then when he meets up with the Celestials, we're at, you know, the World Forge or wherever they're going, he's going to use his mind control powers, and he's going to make all the Celestials commit celestial suicide, because the Celestials are not going to be around forever. I am very confident.
You think he has the power because he needed help?
Yeah, I don't think he has the power yet, but whenever he goes to the Celestial home base, he's probably going to find a machine or something that's going to be like, my powers are amplified.
Now he's going to find a machine.
Oh, do you think they're going to get to, what is it, Forge? What is it? What, it's not Olympia.
The World Forge.
They're going to get there, and then he's going to just take all the power of all the Celestials being made, or all the Eternals being made, and just, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see
That would be sick. That'd be just one by one, they just fold over. That'd be a truly Game of Thrones, Red Wedding, or like Arya Frey. Arya killed the phrase.
That'd be so dangerous for the world. There'd be no more worlds. Exactly.
And I think
that's why we need a multiverse reset.
But like, he was actually dooming the universe by killing all the Celestials, and like, you know. So I think that Druig might actually be the secret person that's gonna actually, he's gonna save everyone, but is he really saving people? I don't know.
MT, I love the daringness of this theory. I think it is rogue, and I do want to see Druig go freaking crazy with his mind control powers.
Coming.
So I'm going to award you 1 point for your theory. Eddie, I think you're right. I think Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is where this is going to appear. I really, really like your theory a lot. I'm going to give you a point too, but Jessica, I think you're right on the money. Cersei don't need saving. You got to give you 2 points for your theory. So it's still anyone's game. Before we go into rogue questions, guys, there is nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help give you some confidence where it counts. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable tablet and at a fraction of the cost. You can take these anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready for whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. But the best part, it's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. And we've got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROGUE, to receive your first month for free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this show. All right, we have arrived at our Rogue question. Here is our question for this week. Paul Rudd was named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive for 2021. Good for you, Paul. you've had the same appearance for 20 years, and finally People Magazine came around to award you this award. But I want to know from you guys, what would the other Avengers say when they found out that Scott Lang among them out-sexied them?
I feel like Hulk would say, puny sexy guy.
And then pull his pants down and be like, what that, about
there you
this?
Go. Blue Chew.
Blue Chew. And he goes, Blue Chew. I think Thor would pick up the magazine and go, this is a joke. This is a mistake, right? I don't understand. What does this paper weight have to say about anything? He would throw it and then just be like, I am the sexiest man alive. I feel like he would take photos of himself and keep bringing it up to people throughout the entire movie, whatever movie it is, and be like, am I sexier than him?
Just keep showing his selfies to people like, look, swiping through his pictures.
Did you see in the Ghostbusters where he had the headshots of him playing this? Yeah. He just has those headshots and he keeps showing them to people. He's like, I'm the sexiest Avenger.
I think Rhodey would just be like, oh, little dude's big now. All right, little dude's big now. I see you. Because he said that in Civil War. So.
That'd be nice. He'd be like, boost him up. What a nice thing for Rhodey to say. That's great. I'm going to give the point to Eddie here because I think Hulk would be offended as smart Hulk. I think he would take the most offense to it. So that makes it a deadlock tie for my three favorite people for this week on Rogue Theory.
We're just too good.
And I'm just proud of all of you. I think you're all geniuses and poets. And I love you all. And I think you did a great job this week. Made me laugh, made me think, made me fear for what comes ahead in the MCU from the Midnight Suns and Ghost Rider and Mephisto. But that is it for this episode of Rogue Theory. I want to thank all of our guests, Jessica Clemens, Eddie Villanueva, and MT. Follow all three of them on social media. Follow their many amazing endeavors and all the cool stuff that they are making currently. You can support our channel by checking out all of our merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. And fun announcement here. If you want to talk more about this episode of Rogue Theory, well, our New Rockstars Discord server is now open to the public. We have made some channels available to non-patrons. So if you've been supporting us on Patreon, we appreciate all of your generous support. But now Discord is just going to be open some of the channels to the general public, and you can be part of that broader community of New Rockstars fans on Discord. If you're over 18 and you're interested, check out Discord, go to the Discord website, and you can search New Rockstars. We're searchable, we're findable, and you can join our conversation there. Follow me at EA Voss, follow New Rockstars on all social platforms, and be sure to subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. See you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.
Peace out.
See ya.